Question. Did the angels, while in a state of probation, elicit acts meriting future glory? Answer. Yes. Just as men on earth elicit meritorious acts, so did they. The scripture says, quote, "No one is crowned except he who has legitimately striven," end quote. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. And in Proverbs 12:14, quote, "To each one there shall be given according to the work of his hands," end quote. This is the law of God, not alone for men, but for angels also. The Holy Fathers, Pope Gelasius says, quote, "That the angels were so constituted as to merit an increase of eternal glory is sufficiently indicated by the fact that, had they stood in need of nothing more, then none of them could have committed evil." Saint Prosper, writing on the contemplative life, says, quote, "It was the action of the will of the holy angels that while their companions with their own free will fell, they themselves remained in the dignity wherein God had placed them. And hence it came to pass, by a divine and a most just judgment, that what was only up to that a holy desire of remaining with their God became thereafter a voluntary and most blessed necessity of remaining with him forevermore." End quote. The argument from reason, the angels good and bad, were placed in an equal condition with regard to merit and demerit. Now, the wicked angels had the power of demeriting and did demerit. Therefore, the good angels had the power of meriting and did merit. Again, it is more perfect to have a thing from one's own act than to owe it absolutely to another. Therefore, since all God's works are perfect, namely, of meriting by their own acts, the angels had that perfection. How long that state of probation lasted, we do not know, but this seems to be the order of the angels' act. First, by a free act, as in the case, for instance, of adults being baptized, they receive with all their reason and will sanctifying grace. Secondly, placed in that state of sanctifying grace, they were then in a position to earn supernatural merit. And while in that position, as all the holy fathers and the theologians teach, they were still viators, travelers, i.e. not as yet confirmed, and as such that they elicited acts deserving of supernatural reward. Quote, "Consequently, according to almost all, that subsequent act by which an increase of grace and glory was merited was, in a way, a distinct act from the first act, and corresponding to several instants of our time, and coexisting with several acts which have been ordered them by God, and which were successive in the angels themselves." End quote. Question. Did the angels, who were most excellent by nature, receive more grace, merit, and glory than the others who were not so excellent? Answer. Yes, that is the common opinion of the fathers and the theologians. St. Basil says, quote, "The angels received their measure of sanctification according to the proportion by which they exceeded one another." End quote. St. Damascene, quote, "The angels, each according to his dignity and class, were made sharers of light and glory." End quote. And the fathers take this doctrine from St. Dionysius, who says he learned it from St. Paul, quote, "De cello hir," end quote. Argument from reason. The angelic nature had been created by God for the purpose of receiving grace and enjoying blessedness. And as there were different choirs and different orders of spirits, and as variety adds to the beauty of a work, so was it fitting that there should be among the angels different degrees of grace and merit and glory, just as there is amongst men, or just as a builder in raising a house will dress some portions of it more elaborately than others. Care must be taken, however, not to confound efficacious grace with the graces of which we have been speaking. God made no position or class of angels which should necessarily demand from his bounteous hand efficacious grace, or be necessarily denied it because of its individual position or class.